This morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to continue our study through the book of Joshua. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you will turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. This morning we're going to be looking at the life of a woman that, if you look at where she was before she met the Lord, you'd say, why should we ever have her in a Bible study? And as I was preparing the message for this morning and reading a little bit about the life of Rahab, I just wanted to give you a background into what was happening in the city of Jericho at this time, in the region at this time, and in the life of the Israelites at this time. As we studied, Israel was encamped at this time on the east side of the Jordan River near a city that is called Shittim. And you can get your map and pull it out, and you will see that Shittim is pretty much straight east of Jericho. Jericho lies on the west side of the Jordan River. The Israelites had not crossed over yet. We talked about the events that were going to happen when they did, and as we a few weeks ago, we're looking at all the promises that God had made to Joshua and told Joshua to be of good courage and not fear, and that he should go before the people of Israel in the fear and admonition of the Lord, knowing that the Lord was going before him. Well, the first city that they're going to encounter is Jericho. Jericho was an outpost city, and you can see by its location right along the Jordan River. It's before you go up into the mountains and head towards what is where today you would find Jerusalem. Jericho is down more in the Jerusalem plain, or in the Jordan plain. Jericho had been built as an impregnable city, a city that no one had been able to conquer. The walls of Jericho were extremely thick. The city was fierce, as all Canaanite cities were, in their fighting and their ability to defend their cities. Within this city, there weren't God-fearing people. They were a people that their ancestors, like all the ancestors of the Canaanites and all the ancestors really of every person in the world, just stop and think about it. At one point in time, everybody that's in the world today, our ancestors knew about the true and the living God, even if the people don't know about him today. That was the case with the Canaanites. They had known about God, and instead of continuing to worship him, they embraced the demonic gods that Satan enticed them with. As part of their demonic worship, you see that same worship in our world today. It involves death. It involves abhorrent sexual practices. And it involves all kinds of despicable things. There was a woman who lived in Jericho whose name was Rahab. And they call her a harlot. The Jewish term that describes her as a harlot can be interpreted no other way. That's who she was. I want you to understand, as we get into the text this morning, you're going to see some interesting things about her. If you were a harlot in a pagan culture, you were intimately involved in the pagan worship. That was part of your job. Yet this woman had heard about this group of people camped on the east side of the Jordan. A lot of people say, well, why would God use a harlot? Do you realize that every one of us is sitting here today unworthy to come into His presence but by the blood of the Lamb? If it be but for Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross, none of us would be any better than the harlot Rahab before she came to know the Lord. Let's take a look at chapter 2, and I'd like to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to examine the events that transpire. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, but ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of her house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did were there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we shall deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers have returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down on by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou wilt, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she brought the scarlet line of the window in the window. And they went, and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that had befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word. And Lord, help us to understand the depth of your mercy, the power of your grace, and Father, how that you are the great deliverer, and that it's in you that we are to look and to trust. Speak to us through your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can imagine being this woman named Rachel and hearing all about Rahab, this woman named Rahab, and hearing all the things that the nation of Israel had done on their march from Egypt. How do you find God in a situation like that? It's amazing. It evidently had been told the people that the God of the Israelites was different than any other God. And that he was a powerful God. And she had the proper perspective of the Israelite God because she said, he is the God of heaven and the God of earth. In other words, she understood he was the God that was over all things. Now when they came, these two spies, people say, why would they have gone to a harlot's house? Well, for one thing, they would be less conspicuous there going in and out. And they went there not because of her profession, but because God led them there. And when they got there, she knew who they were and what they were about. And I want you to see an interesting thing. It's evident from the text a couple things. Her family did not live with her. Because they told, she begged that they would spare her mother, her father, her mother, her brothers, and her sisters. And they told them, you go and get them and bring them to this house. And as long as they remain in this house with you, when we come, we'll preserve all your lives. I want you to understand the concern she had for others, and especially those that were closest to her. But she also understood the wickedness of her city and the evil-heartedness of her king. This was no small thing that this woman was about to do. If the king found out what she was about, he would kill her. No questions asked. There were no trials in those days. There were no getting an attorney to defend our position. She would have been run through with a sword as soon as he found out what she had done. Why would she put her life on the line when she's in the midst of a city that's the outpost city that's designed to protect the rest of the land of Canaan from invaders, and it had never been conquered in the history of the city, having the walls been built. Because she understood that her trust needed to be in the God who is the God of all heaven and all earth, not in the walls of a city or a king who was wicked and evil. The first thing I want you to understand as you look at the life of Rahab is her willingness to completely give up everything to follow God. Willingness to give up everything to follow God. Everything she knew. Everything she'd been involved with. She was willing to set it aside to follow God. The second thing I want you to see is that God didn't forget the commitment that she'd made to Him. Now, in a very short period of time, it's going to be a few weeks, because there's other events that we're going to look at that have to transpire before they actually get to Jericho and we see the walls come tumbling down. Did you notice where Rahab's house was? It says it was located in the wall of the city. And that is how she was able to let the spies escape when she let them down, and she had a red cord, a scarlet cord or rope that she let them down with. Now, what happens in a matter of a few weeks to the walls of the city of Jericho? If you go ahead and you look what's going to happen, the walls come crashing down, not by the power of men, but by the power of God. But I want you to realize there's one section of the wall that evidently doesn't fall. And that's where Rahab's house is. Because she's told to get all of her family to come together there, and then she was told, the scarlet cord that you've let us down with, pull that back up and place it in the window of your house so we will know which place is yours. And we will make sure that you are protected. You know, you stop and think about it. Do we serve a God who is powerful enough to deliver on His Word and the Word of His people? God was able to protect her and all of her family in her house, which sat on a wall. The wall of the city that would come tumbling down, except where her house was, evidently. But I also want you to see some other things about Rahab. She quickly embraced the God of Israel and totally abandoned all the gods that she had been intimately involved with her whole life. When she saw the truth truly set her free. You know, a lot of times we look around and we say, well, could God actually cause these people that are so wicked to repent and turn to Him? If you can imagine, if He could do it to a harlot in the city of Jericho, He can do it to anyone. Today in our world, we have a whole world full of people like the Canaanites. That are just as wicked, just as evil, but there are still in the midst of them those whom God can redeem and save if they will but turn to Him. And that's what He did with Rahab. Now I want you to see a couple other things. She understood exactly the character of the people of her own city. She knew that they would go and try and figure that these spies would go to the encampment of the Israelites, which was on the east side of the Jordan River. So they would head out of Jericho and they would go east towards the Jordan to pursue the spies. And that's what she told them, because she knew that that's what they would do. What did she tell these two men to do? She told them, I'm going to let you down, but I want you to go west towards the mountains. And I want you to go up in the mountains, and I want you to stay there 3 days. She not only knew the character of the people she was with, she knew the lay of the land, and she understood how long they would be gone. And that they'd be gone, it would take them about 3 days to go out and pursue throughout the area between Shittim and Jericho, looking for these spies, and then to get back to Jericho. And so she said, you need to hide, but go the opposite direction and go where they would never expect you. Go into the mountains. And that's exactly what they did. Now, was Rahab rewarded for what she did? I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew's Gospel, we have the genealogy of Jesus. And it talks about four women. And let's pick it up at verse 3. And it says, Judas begat Phares and Zahar of Tamar. That's the first woman. And Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Solomon, and Solomon begat Boaz, and the Greek is Rahab. The Hebrew is Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king. And so we see the first three women that are listed. The other one that is listed is Bathsheba. All four women had one thing in common. They were all Gentiles. They were all involved in sinful acts. And yet, they all believed in the true and the living God and called on His name. God chose Rahab to marry a prince in Israel. If you go back and you see that it says here in Matthew's Gospel that Nahson was the father of Solomon. And if you go back in the book of Genesis and Exodus at the time that Moses was coming out of the land of Egypt, and you come and it talks about elders of the tribes of Israel, Nahson was an elder in the tribe of Judah. Nahson begat Solomon. Solomon would have been a prince in the tribe of Judah. And this prince in the tribe of Judah ended up marrying a harlot from the land of Canaan. But a harlot who'd been redeemed and changed by the blood of the Lamb. And who was no longer a harlot, but had become a princess. An amazing story. But not a story, an actual historical account. And you see that Rahab begat Obed. Do you think that Obed had heard about the account of his mother? When Obed saw Naomi come back to the land of Israel from the Moabites, and she brought a Moabitess woman, Ruth, with her, and we see that and that Solomon begat Boaz. But Boaz, when Naomi came back from the land of the Moabites, and he saw a Moabite girl, woman, that had the same love of the Lord that his mother had. And if you look at some interesting things about the Moabites' relationship to the Israelites, the Moabites were never to marry the Israelites. God had said the Israelites were never to intermarry with the Moabites. Why? Because the Moabites worshiped false gods. But there was something different about Ruth. When Naomi had left to go back to the land of Israel, what had Ruth said? I will go with you. And Naomi had said, no, you stay here with your people. And she says, no, your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Ruth had seen in her mother-in-law and in her father-in-law a love for the Lord, and she had understood who this God was, and she was willing to commit her life even though she had no idea she would ever, ever be married again because her husband had died. And she was willing to commit herself to take care of her mother-in-law and to go with her back to Israel. And when they got there, they met Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, the son of Rahab. And you look at the consistency of character of these women that are in the lineage of Christ. All sinners, all saved by grace, but all who've been transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus, and made new creatures in Christ. This is Rahab. Now, how does she apply to our lives today? How do you take the life of this woman and put it forward to today? Well, if you stop and think about it, the world we live in today is not much different than the world she was living in. And there was real consequences to her choices that she was going to make. When these men came and presented themselves and told her who they were, she had a choice to make. She could either choose to turn them over to the king and say, here's your spies. Or she could believe in the God that they came, whose name they came in, and trust in him and hide them and help them and ask that she and her family could be preserved. Choices. She chose the latter. Even though all logic would say she should have done the former, if you were looking at it from a worldly perspective, if you only look at things with the eyes that you can see, what she would see is living in the wall of a wall that was so thick that nobody had ever been able to get through it, in a city that had never been conquered, by a people that hated the Israelites because of what they stood for and believed everything in the exact opposite of what the Israelites believed. And yet, as she looked at all of this and could see it with her own eyes, she believed by faith that the God of heaven was a greater God than her gods, that were no gods at all, and that the Israelites had been sent by him to inherit a land that she would see at this time was inhabited by her people. She chose to walk by faith, not by sight. That is the same way that you and I are to walk in the world today. Now you look around and you see everything that's happening, and it seems like it's an impossible task. There is absolutely nothing that we could ever do to stand against the wickedness in the world. But you understand, Rahab could do nothing in and of her own strength to deliver her family. She had to trust in God and His power and His word and His authority to deliver her. And just like we have to trust in God to be able to deliver us and to use us in the face of all the wickedness that is around us. I was talking to T.A. McMahon a couple months ago, and we were just talking, and he said, you know, I don't think that there's ever going to probably be really godly big churches again in America. He said, people are always calling me, saying we're going to this really big church, but the Word of God isn't being taught there. The name of the Lord isn't exalted, and do you have anywhere where we can go? And he said, you know, we don't really know how to tell people, well, go to this church or this church or this church, because we don't know what they're teaching. They can be teaching the truth today and lies tomorrow. But what he did tell me is, we're to stand and persevere in the power of Christ. And he said, you know something, it doesn't matter how many people there are, but it matters what the choices are that you've made and whether you're going to stand with God or turn and embrace the world and drag it into your life as a Christian. Rahab had to make that choice. And they had real-time consequences to her choice. Now I want you to also see that she had to have faith, and those that she was telling about how they could be delivered had to have faith as well. If they chose not to go into her house, they would be killed. But if they chose to go into her house, their lives would be preserved. Now I want you to just see a couple other things. The spies did not tell Rahab when they were going to return. I don't see that in the text anywhere. And there were certain things that God was going to have the nation of Israel do, which we're going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks, that were going to take some time to get done, so that wasn't going to be an immediate deliverance of Rahab and her family. And as the days turned into weeks and nobody was showing up, would she maintain her faith? Would she still put the red cord in the window or say, nuts to this, this is crazy? Or would her family come into her house and stay there not knowing when their deliverance was going to occur? Because remember, it said, if they aren't in the house when we come, they won't be delivered. They won't be come out of this alive. She had to persevere and she had to have faith. You want to know something? The amazing thing, Jesus Christ We studied the book of Daniel. We studied the book of Revelation. We studied Matthew chapter 24 and 25. We looked at all the signs. We looked at all the events. And everything around us that we're seeing happening tells us that the Lord's return could be any day, any time. And do you know what Christians are doing? Are they preparing? Are they getting ready? Are they looking for His return, His deliverance? No. Do you know that most Christians today deny the rapture, don't say that Jesus is coming, and say that we have to turn the world into a godly paradise so that Jesus can return, and it's all on our shoulders, not on God's? Yet this woman had faith that God was going to deliver her because judgment was coming. As you look at the wickedness in the world, do you believe that ultimately judgment is coming? If God is a just God, judgment has to come. But before judgment, the rapture of the church. And before the final judgment, there's going to be the great tribulation, as we studied. But even during the great tribulation, God's still going to give people a chance and call them and say, come on to me. You don't have to face the judgment. But the church today, they're not looking for the deliverance, nor are they looking for the judgment. Choices. As you look at the life of Rahab, it's an amazing account. A harlot who became a princess. One of four women, all sinners, in the lineage of Christ that are listed there. All women who at their moment in time and history could have made choices where they turned their back on God but did not. Tamar was commended by Judah in saying, you showed more faith than I ever did. Rahab, we've been talking about her. Ruth, we talked a little bit about her. Bathsheba, a woman who was caught in sin, and yet sought to have her son walk with God. Choices. May you make choices that are correct. May you understand that choices have consequences. That God's word is true and He's true to His word. Just as He told Rahab, I will deliver you, He will deliver us. Just as He said to Rahab, judgment's coming, the walls are going to fall, the city's going to be destroyed, but you will be delivered. He did what He said. And He will do what He said today in our lives. May we seek to emulate the faith of Rahab. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to make right choices. And Lord, help us to have the faith of this woman who had grown up in paganism, but believe that You truly are the God of heaven and the God of earth. You are the Lord of lords and King of kings, the one who shall be the great deliverer, but also the one who shall come as the great judge. And Lord, help us to give the warning to others and to seek them that they might be delivered as well. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 576.